Welcome. Lieutenant Governor Reynolds and I are very pleased to be joined this morning by Jeff Weld, Executive Director of the Governor's Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math Advisory Council. And this is to present the third annual evaluation of Iowa's STEM initiative. I'm proud to tell you this has been the best year yet. We created the STEM Advisory Council by executive order back in July of 2011 to increase student interest and achievement in STEM and to promote STEM economic development. We want more students ready for careers in advanced manufacturing, biosciences, also in health and in agriculture, information technology, finance, and other great Iowa STEM sectors. The first year, 2011 and 12, was the Council's planning year. Under the understanding leadership of Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds and her co-chairs, first UNI President Ben Allen, and most recently Vermeer CEO Mary Andrenga, great strides have been made, as detailed in the comprehensive annual evaluation that is being released today. More than 100,000 Iowa students last year participated in high-quality STEM education programs across the state of Iowa, delivered through the STEM Council's regional network. More educators each year sign on to provide these programs to their students. More business and industry partners each year contribute their time, talents, and resources to Iowa's STEM campaign. Iowans realize the value of a good STEM education and its link to economic vitality. Iowa's gains in STEM exemplify our collaborative can-do spirit when it comes to the future of our children and our state. I'm proud of all of the wonderful work being done by this public-private partnership and grateful for the bipartisan legislative support that it's received each and every year. I want to add that we are thrilled that Kemen's CEO, Chris Nelson, has agreed to be the next co-chair of the Governor's STEM Advisory Council, along with Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds. Now, it's my pleasure to turn the podium over to somebody that knows a lot more about STEM than I do, Governor Kim Reynolds.
We're just so grateful to you initiating the whole, or implementing the whole initiative, so thank you, Governor Branstad. You know, the annual evaluation completed by our three regent universities, it's really vital because it's their important work that enables us to make data-driven decisions. We're able to identify where we're getting strong returns on the investment in the programs, but we're also able to identify where we can do better to meet the needs of students through STEM. The scope of the annual evaluation of Iowa STEM is impressive. It includes 18 different indicators and evaluations that are monitored, ranging from course-taking patterns of students to employment figures in the workforce. About 2,000 random Iowans were interviewed, hundreds of educators were surveyed, and thousands of student data contributed to the data points. The result is, as I think Jeff is going to talk about and show, is hundreds of pages of facts and findings that tell quite a story and, again, really help us make decisions as we move forward with this initiative. We need to know that we know that children who participate in STEM programs perform better on math and science tests and they like STEM more. College-bound students' interest in STEM has gone up since 2010 based on ACT. Degrees in STEM at our public and private colleges and universities are up since 2010. And the vast majority of Iowans, 96%, believe that advancements in STEM will give our kids more opportunities. And what excites me is that's more opportunities right here in the state of Iowa. More than three-fourths of the educators involved in the STEM Council programs feel more confident and prepared to teach STEM. And I think this is a really great indicator, too. Over 376 new school business partnerships were formed through STEM last year. And I think that's been one of the biggest outcomes of the STEM initiative, is really the collaboration and bringing together business and industry and educators. Amidst plenty of good news, there's also reminders that our work is not done and there's more to do. For example, high school students' proficiency on state tests over the last few years has declined from 85.2% to 82.4%. College readiness in science and math on average among African American and Hispanic students as measured by ACT lags unacceptably. Fewer than 40% of our newly licensed teachers of advanced STEM courses are still at the same position in the same school at the four-year mark. So while we have made progress, and that's something that we can celebrate, we know that we still have work to do. Most importantly, we have the right people to continue monitoring and moving STEM forward, starting with the students across Iowa who are becoming more engaged than ever in STEM, and I see it as I travel the state, and it's exciting to see that passion and that engagement. And I want to thank our evaluation consortium. They're all here for their great feedback. And I also want to express my appreciation to our 47-member STEM Council, our 90 regional board members, our 14 STEM program providers, our operations team at the University of Northern Iowa, our 6 hub institutions, of course, our outstanding regional managers. Nothing happens without them, and a good share of them are here today. So thank you again for all that you do. And I know that they're going to continue to make great use of this annual report moving forward. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Jeff to give you a few more details.
Thank you. Thank you, Governor, Lieutenant Governor. To echo our leaders, STEM is in expansion mode across Iowa. It's been a great year, and this is always such a humbling document. Today is a dramatic day for Iowa STEM because we get this, as you do, an objective independent evaluation. We're never quite sure what it'll say about the work we've been doing. But this is packed full of wonderful endorsements of the impact we're making, yet it also calls out some areas that we could potentially improve as we set about the future. Speaking of the future of Iowa STEM, I want to invite everybody here to the State Fair, August 23rd. It's STEM at the State Fair. It's a Sunday. We'll be taking over the Grand Concourse with a STEM extravaganza of hands-on family fun. Shortly thereafter, a little bit further into our future, come fall, we'll have over 2,000, nearly 3,000 Iowa educators in and outside of classrooms implementing the best-known STEM programming to over 100,000 Iowa youth in the coming year. We'll also be expanding to school business partnerships, as the Lieutenant Governor mentioned. We'll be facilitating our universities and colleges to implement STEM endorsements for our teachers. We'll be rolling out coding clubs and competitions. And we'll be working closely with our partner, Strategic America, to ramp up the public messaging campaign that involves billboards and social media tactics, as well as public service announcements. And speaking of, I am so proud to be able to debut the latest production from Strategic America, Young Students of Iowa, to additional students of Iowa about the great opportunities available in STEM. This will be debuting later this summer and fall, hopefully on a channel near you. Thank you. That's our not-so-distant future, today's Iowa STEM learners as tomorrow's innovators and inspirers. So thank you all very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Jeff, thank you. We'd open it to questions on this subject first. Yes. That's one-time money. This is the STEM program. They're two separate subjects.
You're saying that 55.7 million has nothing to do with STEM education, will have no impact on STEM education?
Right. This is a focused program designed to get more students involved in STEM education. and it's had great support. And ever since we started it, we've had strong bipartisan support. We've gotten great support from educators. We've gotten great support from the business community. So I think it's important not to mix these things up, to recognize the fact that Iowa continues to be nationally recognized as an innovator and leader in STEM, and we want to do all we can to continue to grow and enhance that.
I'm going to just add to that, too, because I want to talk about the positive aspects of science, technology, engineering, math, and the STEM initiative. Not only has this bipartisan initiative been supported by the legislature with $5.2 million, but we've been able to take that public money and leverage private funding and NSF grants to really double, almost dollar for dollar. And it's not available for just educators in classrooms. It's also available for nonprofits, after-school programs, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. It is available to any program like that to really touch and reach students all across the state of Iowa to give them the opportunity to participate in high-quality programs to start to fire and light a passion with math and science that will have an impact on their future, not only their future, but on the state of Iowa. So there has been tremendous momentum with business and industry by not only providing internships and externships for teachers and students, but really supporting an initiative and supporting this legislature's decision to appropriate funding for the initiative.
Right.
Set up a system where there's haves and have-nots in terms of topics that you have, state-of-the-art science education and decades-old history textbooks.
Well, first of all, there's nobody that's got more passion for history, especially Iowa history, than I do. So I'm very committed and very interested in doing what we can to update our history curriculum and make sure that we're doing the best we can in that area as well. But these are really the jobs of the future. And what we're saying is, let's just not look back about the way we've always done things in the past, but let's try to really develop an opportunity for Iowa students to get the kind of careers that we are growing in this state and that make a lot of sense. And what's really great about this is it's gotten tremendous support from the education community, from the business community. It's making a real difference. And you can see the excitement as the Lieutenant Governor and I traveled around the state. As I said, she's been more directly involved in this than I have, but with Ben Allen and with Marianne Drenga and now with Chris Nelson, and actually the Kemen Industries has already provided some private funding to honor and provide support for teachers. So these are the kind of things that we think really are where we need to be putting our resources and are going to make a real difference.
I'll just add one more thing to that. Sorry, but this is like and one of the number one objectives of the Governor's STEM Advisory Council is to make sure that no matter where a student lived in the state of Iowa, they have access to these great programs. And if you look at the map, I think we're in almost every single school district in some form or another. So this is a statewide initiative, and this was designed because as I traveled the state, there were school districts that were doing great things that had opportunities to participate in these programs. But sometimes down in, southwest Iowa, we didn't have access to a lot of those programs. We have a different business and industry in that section of the state. And so this initiative has really brought brought access to those programs in school districts in every single corner of the state. The other thing is you see more and more school districts going to one-to-one initiatives. They're using computers. They're using the internet. They're not in books so much. They're looking at different ways of really learning hands-on. They're participating in these programs. They're getting in business and industry. They're applying what they're learning. So we have to change the way in which we're educating our students. And what I've seen from educators is this difference, the way that they're teaching now, it has brought back passion to what they do, and it's brought an excitement into the classroom.
And you don't think that vetoing education money on one hand but investing in other ways sends a mixed message?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to recognize the reason I came back as governor. The previous governor had made all kinds of promises to education and then just cut the legs out from under him with a 10% across the board cut. The first thing I promise to do is restore stability and predictability and stop the bad practice of using one-time money for ongoing expenses. We did that. We did that in 2011. We got the state's financial house in order. We now have restored the state's financial stability, and we want to keep it that way. We're going to continue. And by the way, we're in a three-year phase-in of the Teacher Leadership and Compensation Program. That's a $150 million commitment to reward teachers for taking on more responsibility and to encourage more collaboration to improve our overall education. But we're also investing substantially in STEM. We're also investing in early childhood reading, and we're going to be working to get private sector investments as well as putting state resources into helping kids that are not have not mastered reading by the end of third grade to make sure that they get the help they need in preschool, kindergarten, first, second, and third grade, and then if need be, that we have an effective summer school program so that they can be up to speed as they go on to fourth grade, because it's critically important they learn their other subjects as well. Yes?
Question in regards to African-American students. What's the strategy to address this shortfall among the African-American students?
Well, I did recommend $10 million, which the legislature didn't approve, to help students with substantial needs. That was in my budget that I presented in January. It wasn't approved this year, but we're going to continue to look at additional things we can do to help minority students and others. When I was a president of Des Moines University, we started the Glanton Scholarship Program, which now has over $2 million. Got to remember, this is not the federal government, but it now has $2 million to help minority students go in higher education at Des Moines University. So I'm very sensitive to the need for that. My wife is also on the board of Holy Family School. It's one of the year-round schools that when we changed the school start date, we made an exception for year-round schools. I visited them the other day. It's probably the most diverse school. It's got over 90% minority students, but these kids are doing real well. My wife is on the trustees that support that program. So we want every kid to have these opportunities, regardless if they live in rural Iowa or if they live in inner city. We want them to be aware that there are great opportunities out for them if they get a good education, and STEM is one of the best. Is one of the areas where they're going to be able to make the most money, and there's a great diversity of job opportunities in the STEM fields.
Can you get back to something that Catherine said just out of follow here? Are you making the argument that rather than sort of an across-the-board education increase for the students, you more like this selective approach where it's more money for STEM, more for teacher leadership? Is that what you're arguing?
Yes. I'm glad you heard that. That's a point that we've been trying to make here for the last several years. Instead of the old way that we used to do things, we gave all this across-the-board money with no accountability, and Iowa kind of stagnated while other states put focus on things that increase their standards and improve their student achievement. And so we went from best in America in the early 90s to middle of the pack. We want to become best in America again, and I think that's going to take a specific and strategic investments in education that focus on things that really make a difference. We saw what Florida did with the focus on early childhood reading, and they now have higher achievement in their fourth grade reading than we do. We also feel that the key to success is good teachers, and we want to have a great teacher in every classroom. And we think the Teacher Leadership and Compensation Program can over time develop that kind of leadership among our teachers. And so, yes, exactly that. We're putting more money into education. It's the biggest item in the budget. It's getting the biggest increase. But we're trying to do it in a strategic and specific way that's going to improve student achievement so that Iowa kids are prepared for the great jobs of the future, like these STEM jobs that we're talking about today.
Well, why not leave that up to the superintendent to decide how to...
Yeah, we did that. We did that for all those years, and we went from best in America to middle of the pack. And so, you know, we used to buy the idea we don't need to have state standards. This can be done at the local level. And we still feel there's an important role to be played at the local level, that the state can set the standards and put programs together, but the implementation must occur at the local level, and there needs to be flexibility to local school districts to put that in place. And so this is a real partnership. It's not just give us the money, no accountability anymore. It's a partnership where we work together to create opportunities so Iowa students can achieve at the highest level and be prepared for the jobs of the future.
So would you have approved the $55.7 million if it had been earmarked?
Well, first of all, I recommended $10 million to help struggling children and minority kids and things like that. That did not get approved. There's a lot of things I recommend. I recommended additional money for our universities that didn't get approved as well. But again, I'm not going to spend my time complaining about what the legislature didn't do. I understand their role, and they're a separate branch of government, and they made their judgments, and I made my judgments. And I think we need to just move forward and continue to focus on the things where we have reached agreement, and this is one of them. I find great broad support for STEM education, be it educators, be it the business community, be it the legislature. So let's work together on things that are proven and make a difference.
What is the ultimate measure of success of the STEM program?
Well, the ultimate measure of success is making sure that we have students that will be employees in the future that have the skills to fill these jobs. Every day you hear and read about great jobs that are not being filled because they can't find people with the right skill set. So when we reach the point where because of the great job we're doing in STEM education that we have people, young people, that are prepared for those jobs, that's when we'll have achieved the kind of success we want. No, I would be very interested in getting that information. We believe that there's a need to review the retirement systems that we have. Obviously, we know that we're in a lot better shape than Illinois, which is the worst in the country, or California or New Jersey or many other states. But I'm a believer that we can improve upon it. And I know that David Vout, who was a state auditor and helped us get the state's financial house in order, was selected to be the chair of the national
government accountability.
Yeah, the government accounting standards board, I think is the right term. The government accounting standards board, which sets accounting standards for all state and local government. So this is something that I would like to visit with David Vout about, and with our present state auditor Mary Moseman, as well as others who are knowledgeable about these retirement systems and the way they're accounted for. I think in the past, this has been an area around the country that has been a big concern. And it's all you have to do is look at Detroit or look at the cities in California or look at the state of Illinois, and you see how not to do it. We're a lot better in Iowa, but I think there's still ways we can improve. Well, I think that this is something we want to work with the community of Fort Madison on. I have had some discussions with the mayor of Fort Madison about some of the plans they have for it. This is a very old, historic prison. It dates back to before Iowa was even a state, parts of it. If you've been there and seen it, it's an interesting sight. It's kind of a impressive or maybe imposing, and depending upon how you look at it. But there are facilities that could be used by the community for recreation and otherwise, and we certainly want to work with the community of Fort Madison on it.
So would you turn the property over or would you sell it?
Well, again, no decision has been made. We do want to work closely with the community on this, and we also recognize that some of this is just old, obsolete, that probably can't be used. Others might have some historic benefit or might have some community or recreation benefit. And so we want to work with the community and determine what's the best use for it going forward. Well, I think it's important that the candidates focus on the issues that are important to the American people. Being governor of an agricultural state that's been a real leader in renewable energy, obviously I'm concerned about their plans for agriculture and for renewable energy. I'm concerned about the national debt, $18 trillion and growing. And addressing that, obviously I'm concerned about the risk and the danger in the world and the threats from Islamic extremists and others here in our own country. And so I want to be anxious to see who is the most articulate and effective in addressing those issues and also obviously the ones that are willing to spend the time an effort to come to Iowa and meet with the people and answer the questions here as well as participate in these debates.
Are you afraid the effect of chasing Donald Trump's lead in the polls will shift the debate in the
direction? I have been around long enough, and all you have to do is look back to the last election, and in the polls, just about every candidate at some point in time had the lead in Iowa, but at the end of the day, it was kind of the tortoise that just went to every county and kept working hard and ended up being ahead at the end, and that was Rick Santorum. So anybody potentially can do well if they're willing to work hard and if they're willing to share their vision and their plans and answer questions in the state of Iowa. And that's the benefit of the Iowa caucuses. You don't have to be the richest person in the room. You don't have to spend the most money on television, although, those things have an impact. But this is a state where retail campaigning matter and where people like Chuck Grassley, who goes to every county every year, have done well. Lieutenant Governor and I go to every county every year. Joni Ernst is doing the same thing. And that kind of attention to the constituents and meeting with them firsthand, answering their questions, and sharing your vision and plans. I saw five candidates over the weekend, and there's a lot of really quality candidates and people that have great experience and background, and I think it should be up to the voters of Iowa to determine which one they think is the best.
If they asked you your advice for the debates, would you tell them to come after Trump or ignore him?
I would tell them to focus on the substance of the issues and not on the other candidates. And I think that will score points with the American people, because I think people are tired of personal attacks and all this racehorse politics, but they want to know who's going to get the country back on track financially, who's going to restore respect for America and leadership in the world, and who's going to be a champion for renewable energy that's going to make America really the leader in the world in energy as well. And we have the potential to be there. We're well on our way. And Iowa is kind of leading the way. And we've gone from being a totally dependent on fossil fuels in the early 80s to being, leader. We produce more ethanol than we consume in gasoline. We're a leader in producing biodiesel. We're a leader in generating electricity from wind, and also We're seeing substantial investments now in solar as well. So those are the kinds of things that I think people are concerned about, and those are the kinds of issues that could, I think, help propel a candidate to and remember, a lot of columns are going to be written, a lot of TV programs are going to air between now and when the caucuses are held 6 months from now. And let's not forget, it's still the voters in Iowa that have the first say, and let's make sure that those people are well-informed and prepared to make that important decision.
Governor, are you open to potentially being a running partner to run for vice president?
I am not seeking that. I love this state, and I'm proud to be governor of Iowa, and I just want to do the best job I can. Here, I want to be a good host. I want to be... Yeah, like I said, I'm not seeking it. I'm not ruling anything in or out. I just love this state and want to do the best job I can of making sure that we maintain the Iowa caucuses first, and that the focus is on the issues that are important to this state and the country. Thank you.
Thanks for